Diary of a Young Naturalist by Dara McAnulty. In the darkness, my dreams are interrupted. I'm somewhere between swimming to the surface and coming up for air when the flute catches my consciousness. The bedroom walls disappear. The space between my bed and the garden narrows, becomes one. I rise without moving, pinned by the heaviness of sleep. The notes keep falling on my chest. Now I can see the blackbird in my mind, its testosterone arrows flying as the territorial sonatas spread across the dawn. Engrossed in the symphony, awake and thinking, the whirring of my brain begins. Spring varies from space to space, but for me it's the sights and sounds swirling around my everyday, from sky to roots, that hold the most magic. Spring is the frog that crossed our path at the beginning of our time in this house. Our first encounter was a splodge of spawn, left quickly upon the road, its invisible pathway intruded upon by modernity. Upset, we dug out a watery sanctuary with a hope, a small bucket of water buried and filled with broken clay pots, pebbles, plants, and some sticks for the entrance and exit. We didn't really know if it would work. But there was another meeting, the following year, when our amphibian friend danced a jig on the grass and was joined by another, leaving us a gift of frog spawn in the bucket refuge. We were exultant, and our whoops of excitement could be heard from the bottom of the hill, drowning out for a moment the sound of cars traveling to Sligo or Dublin, and even rallying against the background noise of the concrete factory nearby. The ebb and flow of time, punctuated by the familiar, brings a cycle of wonder and discovery every year, just as if it's the first time. The rippling excitement never fades. The newness is always tender. From the opening of Diary of a Young Naturalist by Dara McAnulty, I invite you to journey with me and with Dara to the suburban wilds of contemporary Northern Ireland, a place of complicated politics for sure, and a place of marvel-filled landscapes as well. It's a place that comes to us, in the Midwest at least, as a world of nature we can understand and relate to. Who of us has not wondered at the call of a blackbird, or held a slug in their hand as it meandered slowly with its sparkling mucus? Felt passion for the wildlands around us, those we've seen, and those we've yet to see. As I read this book, I marvel at the places this young man describes in school, out of school, at a suburban home, in the wilds of Ireland, all places shared with us through the eyes of this young naturalist, who tells us, by the way, early on that his world is one filtered through autism. The writing in this book is poetic in its nature and in its effect. Here's a little bit more to make that point. In the forest, the greens are still the dominant color, but are starting to fade. The leaves of the beech trees are more golden every day, brittle on the branches. The gulls, rooks, and jackdaws are becoming louder as the world around them recedes. The week has been a busy one outside of school. I sent the People's Manifesto for Wildlife to my MP and organized a meeting with him to discuss how we can do things on a local level. Then, a couple of nights ago, we went to the Ulster Museum in Belfast for the Dippy on Tour exhibition. Dinosaurs were one of my first passions. The exhibition was full of natural history exhibits, too, the journey from the Mesozoic onwards. Weirdly, there was a photograph of me in one of the displays. Apparently, I was an expert explorer. I had completely forgotten the words I had written for the museum a few months ago, now featured beside two actual experts, the prolific naturalist Roy Anderson and Donna Rainey, a wildlife and pollinator hero of mine we met on Twitter. I love how worlds collide like this. Social media is many bad things, a source of anxiety, stress, and hate, but it still does bring people together and merge things that we hold dear. For me, it has been a blessing. Because I've not been able to hold conversations dexterously in the real world, platforms like Twitter have enabled me to be myself, allowed my heart and brain to speak with a clarity that would otherwise be impossible. For that, I'm grateful. And so here we are all in the museum, Rory with his moth net, Donna with a magnifying glass, Dara with his binoculars. We go through the year with our writer, beginning in the early days of spring, as we heard when we first opened, pausing to take in summer, then fall, and finally winter. In that simple, basic flow of the seasons, came to appeal to my sense of the rhythms of the seasons. May well do so for you as well. As I noted earlier, McNulty and most of his family live with AHD, and as he notes, he feels the most comfortable and at ease when he is surrounded by nature. His mother has told him this became very clear very early in his life. And indeed, reading through the text, I'm getting a sense of what living with autism, living in the autism spectrum, can be in ways that few other books have offered this experience of life for me. The joy, the pain, the bewilderment, and the wonder, both for the autistic person and through their eyes for the people they love, and for the other people with whom they interact with, sometimes with happiness, but too often with dread. And the Diary of a Young Naturalist is about family, too. In fact, it's largely about family as well as nature. McNulty is 13, 14, as he writes to us in these pages, and age, as he tells us more than once, when he feels the tugs of childhood and emerging adulthood roiling within him. At his best, McNulty is able to delight in both states of being. And it helps, no doubt, that his siblings, he has a brother and a sister, and his parents are usually on good terms with him and he with them. Here's a look into his family's life at the beginning of an out-of-school summer's day, just as they are packing to move to a different home in the north of Ireland. He shares this with us. I lie in way past the sunrise and early morning. It is Monday, the 2nd of July. The slant of the light coming through the window suggests it's past 9 o'clock, at least. I sit up to read a book for a while, savoring the luxury of being able to do so on a Monday morning. But it's not long before I hear the clatter of breakfast dishes and the smell of warming bread and coffee. I rise to find Mum in the kitchen, simultaneously reading and looking at a map spread out on the table, a large cup of coffee in hand. She asks if we should go somewhere new today, unexplored. You know, she says, because we'll be leaving soon. It might be a good idea to find another secret place. I look at her with daggers in my eyes. Explore somewhere new so we can regret leaving yet another place? I feel the anger bubbling back, but check myself, pushing this morning thoughts in a different direction. I want to find new places, I remind myself, with new smells, new trees to climb, with creatures I've yet to encounter. The effort to shift my thoughts to a more positive place, the unpicking needed, all the arguing with myself must have taken a while because when I finally snap back into the kitchen, my brother and sister are at the table. My sister is eating croissants while making something with string. My brother is tapping a beat on the table and asking Mum to turn off Radio 4 because all the talking is giving him a headache. But Mum wants to keep listening, she insists. Just 5 more minutes, then I'll turn it off. If he stops beating for 5 minutes, she tells him, half-jokingly, she won't need to scream after she turns the radio off. My brother stops. The radio babbles on. We start talking about the day ahead. It's the first proper day of summer. But should we do nothing because we're all too tired? Or should we get a full day planned because it's the beginning of the holidays and there's loads of time ahead to rest and recover from school? I want to go out adventuring and be busy. So I'm delighted with the consensus building. Then comes the inevitable debate about where to go, which is also when Dad appears in the kitchen, to a storm of pleas and I wants, which ricochet off cereal packets and packing boxes crashing back into the center of the table. Deep down, I don't really mind. I just feel unusually listless and want to get out wherever we go. Apparently, my brother chose last time, and it's my choice. So I suggest Big Dog. Even though I always choose it, we haven't seen any hen harriers there this season. I sit back and wait for the protest. And it comes like a hurricane from my brother, who wants to go wild swimming. And then my sister agrees. Wild swimming is the thing to do. And I wait for the majority ruling to win. Strangely, though, it doesn't. Instead, Mum stands to grab a sheet of paper and starts writing a list of all the places and all the things everyone wants to do before we move house. My brother, wild swimming, Killigrean, kayaking, jetty jumping. Me, big dog, hen harriers, Culliga Mountain. My sister, pond dipping, the beach in Donegal, playing with friends of the park by the leisure center. Mum then assigns each of these activities a different day so everybody feels like they've been heard and can say goodbye to their special places. It says that Dad and she can do the rest of the packing in the evenings, so there's time for full days. She makes it all sound so reasonable. And although there is a little more rambunctious conversation, we all agree that this is a great plan. How much we appreciate writing from younger writers. As I said, this author is on the cusp of 15, as he tells us on the last page when he's writing this book. He is producing this beautiful and thought-out prose at quite a young age. And sometimes I think we don't give teenagers the due that they deserve. As I said, this poetic nonfiction work is set in Northern Ireland, which our author is clearly in love with, the history, the culture, the places, perhaps as much as nature study. And certainly he is immersed in Irish culture and atmosphere. Let's finish this journey with and into nature, not far from where we began. Is winter is giving way to spring? Or is it that far? It has been a year in Earth time, after all. McAnulty leaves us with these words of wonder and of wisdom and of longing. My family carried on towards the waterfall, while I stayed to rest my back against a stone. I looked out into the lake, my body filling with shuddering, otter feelings. I thought of St. Kevin in his long journey from solitude to community, from being alone to being with others, and the way he must have found a space for both, his own learning and the hospitality he offered to anyone who wanted it. I wondered how he balanced his need for silence with public work and how his time with the elements in nature, with stone and wing, changed as more and more people came here to visit the saint. I held out my hand to feel the tickle of the wind. A blackbird might never choose to nest and lay its eggs in my palm, but I know that my hand will always be outstretched to nature and to people. Because we're not separate from nature. We are nature. And without a community, when you're always on your own, it's more difficult to share ideas and to grow. I'm so used to keeping my thoughts locked inside and being in a space where it's only me and my family. But now there are concentric circles rippling out through a digital online world into the very real world of activism, social action, and interaction. It keeps on rippling. I have to drift and swirl with it, but always I'll need to retreat back to the foundation stones of myself. The vernal equinox has come and gone, and I'm now on the cusp of my 15th birthday, midway between late childhood and adulthood. Everything and nothing has changed. Again, Seamus Heaney's words are with me. Quote, Kevin feels the warm eggs, the small breast, the tucked neat head and claws, and finding himself linked into the network of eternal life. As I ran to join my family for the last stretch of the walk, leaving St. Kevin and the blackbird behind, a solar glare draped over us, connected us to the land with invisible strings. A longer, heavier line is about to be cast into the world. My heart is opening. I'm ready. It's a great book. It's a book about nature. It's a book about family. It's a book about a young man learning to cope with the world around him. It's just so many great things. Diary of a Young Naturalist by Dara McAnulty. It's available at many of our fine local libraries, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library. Thank you for listening.